1 Kings chapter 19, please. 1 Kings 19. When I began this series, I talked first of all about how that Jesus handled pressure in his life, and I preached about that. And then last week we talked about identity, how Moses had to settle four major issues in his life that we all have to settle: the issue of identity, who we are; the issue of what we're going to do in life; and the issue of priorities in life. We talked about all that. And so today we're going to look at another Old Testament character by the name of Elijah. And I will show you from the Bible how he dealt with America's most common problem, emotional problem, and that is depression. You see, what happens in discouragement is many times discouragement leads to depression. And so here's a man of God. Here's a person who believed in God, a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of zeal, who found himself, like Jeff said, in a cave. And the message from the Bible today is this: if you find yourself in a cave, Jesus wants to get you out of that cave. And he wants to lift you out. And that is the hope we have of the Bible. That's the power of Christ. And that's what he can do with us. Now, these students have been on a mountaintop, down at Lookout Mountain. Physically and spiritually, you know, that's what camp is. You have revival and, man, everything's great. Then you come back, and then what the devil does, I mean, he'll throw all kinds of discouragement at you. He will. And that's what happens many times in our spiritual life. You know, we can be on a mountaintop, and then all of a sudden, you know, we hit that valley. So, what are we going to do? You see, what this story is about is how we react to the difficulty, how we react to the circumstances that cause, you know, depression and things like that. What are we going to do with that? And so we're going to look at Elijah and see how he dealt with it. Look at verse 1 of 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went into Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Here is a depressed person. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. The mountain of God is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So he's going there to meet God. He wants to meet God. Verse 9. And there he went into a cave. So he's in this cave and spent the night in the place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" That's the second time God asked him that question. And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way into the wilderness of Damascus, and when you and I arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria." And so what he did was to go and anoint two kings, and then he anointed another man by the name of Elisha to take his place. Depression is something that we all deal with, and discouragement is something that comes to all of us at times. The problem, however, that some people never pull out of depression and discouragement. There's no story that goes this way, that Satan was having an auction. And he had all these instruments and all these tools that Satan uses against us, and he had this auction that he was going to sell off these instruments. He was going to sell off jealousy. Jealousy was for sale. Envy was for sale. Pride was for sale. Things like that. But there was one instrument that had "not for sale" on it. And that instrument was discouragement. And that instrument was really what we're talking about today, depression. The first principle that we see from this story today, and here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the principles from the Word of God that deal with the common problems that we face in life. Discouragement is a common problem. Depression is a common problem, but I want you to see here how the Bible deals with these problems. Now, I'm preaching from my own breakthrough that I've had. And when I began this series, I told you I really didn't know where this series was going to take us, but I'm getting a better handle on it. And so what we see from the Bible is a character in the Bible that was just like you and me. And that's the first point we're going to talk about. Elijah was depressed, just like we get depressed. The book of James tells us this, that Elijah was a man just like we are. Now, think about what he was going through. He was going through fear. He was going through loneliness. He was going through anger. He had the emotion of discouragement. All this stuff was going on in his life. And so what he had to do, though, was to get a handle on this. You see, the way we do that is to change the way we think. Now, many times in secular psychology, what we're told is this. We're told that we have to get a hold of our feelings. But see, the problem with that is this, that sometimes feelings lie to us. Sometimes we can't always depend on feelings. So from the biblical perspective, what God says is this. God says we should know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So where do we find the truth in dealing with these things that are common to each and every one of us? Well, I found the truth over and over again in my battle, in my struggle, before I finally had the breakthrough, was to go to God's Word. And the Bible says this in John 8. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Truth will pull us out of the cave. Truth will give us the answers that we seek. So we're going to talk about that today. But as you think about the Bible, and you think about this story, Elijah was just like we are. The same emotions that he had are the same emotions that we deal with day in and day out. The Bible has a lot to say about depression and discouragement. I can give you example after example from the Bible of Bible characters that we know that dealt with this same issue. Moses, Job, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jonah. We could go on and on and on again. But here's what I want to share with you, some principles today. So, when you think about this, though, here's what I want you to think about. No one is isolated from this tool of depression and discouragement that the devil is going to use against us in our spiritual life. The causes of depression, they tell us, can be physical. That's something that needs medical attention. It could be something that is psychological with emotions that we all deal with. It could also be, from the biblical perspective, spiritual. And so that's the causes for it. When you think about depression, again, what we need to think about is this, that Christian people, believers who love the Lord, people just like Elijah, people of courage, people of zeal, people of faith, are not immune to this problem. Let me read you this quote. See if you can think about who said these words. He said, "I am the subject of depression, of spirit, so fearful that I hope none of you ever gets to such extremes as I go to. Personally, I've often passed through this dark valley of depression." You know who said that? One of the greatest preachers who ever lived, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Let me give you another one. "For more than a week, I was close to the gates of death and hell. I trembled in all my members. Christ was wholly lost. I was shaken by desperation and blasphemy of God." One of the great reformers, Martin Luther, experienced depression. He also went on to say this. He said, "Isolation is a poison for the depressed person." He says, "For through it, the devil tries to keep his power over us." In other words, he wants us to stay in that cave. Satan wanted Elijah to stay in that cave of depression. So the second point that I want to talk about now, though, are the common mistakes that he made. Why did he get to this place? Well, there are some mistakes that he make that we all make. First of all, he focused on his feelings rather than the facts. When you let your emotions control you, then that's where you're headed to. So he's focusing on feelings, focusing on how he felt, rather than the truth and promises of God and the faithfulness of God. Another mistake he made was he compared himself to other people. 2 Corinthians 2:12 tells us this, that when we start comparing ourselves to other people, then it makes the problem worse rather than better. You know what Elijah said? He said, "I'm no better than my ancestors." And he started going through this whole list of things that his ancestors did that he couldn't do and all that. And so he was in that trap of comparison. Number three, he blamed himself for negative events that really wasn't his responsibility. You see, he's under the circumstance. That's where discouragement takes us. That's where depression takes us. We get under all these circumstances and we try to assume responsibility for things we cannot control. That's where I was. When I was in my cave, that's where I was. It was a situation that I could not control. But I was assuming responsibility for it, and that's what he's doing. See, he's saying, you know, my ancestors and the people of Israel, they're not doing what you want them to do, God. They've gone back to idolatry. They've gone back to all this other stuff. That wasn't his responsibility. It was their responsibility. We all assume our responsibility before God. We can't assume that responsibility. But that's what he was doing. And then he overstated the negative. He said, I'm the only one that's left. And so in the story here, what God reminded him of was this. He said, Elijah, I've got 7,000 prophets that have not bowed a knee to Baal. And so when we get in that cave of discouragement, depression, that's what we do. You know, the whole world's falling apart. And how can I ever get out of this? And how can I ever make it through this? And so at that point, what Satan does, he wants us to quit. That's where Elijah was. Now, he'd had a great victory on Mount Carmel before this. Fire came down from heaven. It had not rained for 3.5 years. He prayed, and the rain came again. So great victory. And now in the next chapter, where do we find him? So he made these common mistakes that we all make. So what's God's remedy? I want you to see God's remedy here. What God did was this. He said, Elijah, what I'm going to do is take care of your physical needs. See, one of the characteristics of discouragement, depression, is this, fatigue. I mean, it can be a physical problem. Elijah was fatigued. He was tired. He had, you know, had this great victory. He had traveled all these miles now to where he was here at this cave. And so he was tired. And God sent help to him in the form of an angel. Now, here's what the theologians believe. In the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord. That's who this is. You know who the angel of the Lord is in the Old Testament? It is Jesus Christ. So the Lord came to him. You know what he did? He gave him food. He gave him water. You know what he did? He said, Elijah, you need to sleep. You need to get good night's sleep. So the Lord ministered to him there. Another thing that helped him get out of that cave was this. God let him talk. The Lord said, just pour your heart out to me. And in verse 9 and 10, that's what he did. He poured his heart, all these emotions, everything that was going on inside of him, all the fear, all the resentment, all the guilt, all the anger, all the loneliness. He just poured it out to God. And what that says to us is that we need to just give our frustrations to God. Through my struggle, my own journey, before I had my breakthrough, here's what I said. I said, Lord, you got to do something. I mean, Lord, I need your help. I'm deep in this cave. God, I know, I believe in you, and I trust you, and I know all that, but Lord, I need your help to pull me out of there. What I had to do is just turn it all over to him. What do you need to turn over to him? What is it you just need to vent and get out? And see, that's what he did. And then what we see here is this, that he had a fresh awareness of God in his life. That scene, verse 11 through 12. Listen to it here. Let me show you. The wind came by, tore the mountains. What is that? That's the power of God. God's in control of the wind. The earthquake came. That's the power of God. The fire came. That's the power of God. So God was in control of all that. So what he's doing is saying, Elijah, I'm still in control. That's what he's showing him. Elijah, I'm in control of the circumstance here. I'm in control of the outcome. I know Ahab. I know Jezebel. They want to kill you. I know that. I know what's going on in Israel. I know that they've gone back to idolatry. But here's what I want you to know, Elijah. I'm in control. What God is showing us here in this story, he's in control of the circumstance. Whatever circumstance has you in that cave of discouragement, of depression, what this story is saying is God is still in control. But I want you to see how God dealt with him. He didn't scold him. He didn't criticize him. But he came to him in a small, still voice. Look at verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. So there he is standing at that entrance. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" And so the Lord came to him in that small, still voice. You see, our depression, our discouragement can never separate us from the love and mercy of God. Elijah didn't need a sermon at this point. Elijah didn't need to be told, "I told you so." Elijah didn't need to be told all the things he's doing wrong. Elijah needed encouragement. Elijah needed to know that God was still there. And so in a tender, gentle way, God dealt with him. And see, that's how he deals with us. And he comes to us in that way. What Elijah was reminded of here is the fact that God was at work. Even though the nation had gone back to idolatry, even though it was dark days under Ahab and Jezebel, dark days in Israel spiritually, he needed to be reminded that God was still at work. When we get in that dark cave, we may think that God doesn't care. We may think, "God, where are you? God, why haven't you answered my prayer?" I want you to know God is at work even though we're in the cave. God was still at work here. And so that's a great lesson you see here. You see this in this story. Now again, the Bible over and over again talks about this issue. And I'll mention this and then we'll bring this to a close. 2 Corinthians 4:1, the word discouragement, depression, you won't find that. Here's what you'll find. Over and over again, you'll find the term lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1, we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Ephesians 3:13, therefore I asked you not to lose heart. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let depression, discouragement win the battle. Luke 18:1, pray and do not lose heart. Do you realize that you can lose heart in doing good things? Discouragement comes in doing good things. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, do not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9, and let us not lose heart in doing good. So we see it here. The Bible tells us that from this point, he made a journey 40 days, 40 nights. The number 40 is significant in the Bible. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. This journey that Elijah took to get to the place, the Mount Sinai, where God spoke to him, where he renewed himself in revival and a fresh touch of God in his life. That 40 days, 40 nights for the journey. Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted, 40 days, 40 nights. So it is a significant number. But here's the point. Just like God provided for Elijah for those 40 days and 40 nights, He will provide for us. He knows where we are. Now, where is the hope? Where's the hope in this story? How do we get out of the cave? Well, we got to have a hope and a help that is beyond what we can do. And you know where that is? That's in God. That's in what Jesus Christ can do. That is in His power. That is in His strength. That's in knowing His love for us, His mercy for us, His grace for us. It's knowing that. And see, what we've got to do, though, we need to identify the problem if we can. And once we identify that problem, then we can't have this pity party. See, that's where Elijah was. Woe is me. Everything's happened to me. Everything's come on me. And see, what happens there is, you know, you isolate yourself. You get into that cave. You don't want anything to do with anybody. You're just in that place. That's a bad place to be. Because that's where Satan's going to work on you. We need each other. And we need the family of God. And we need the encouragement that comes from each other. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews? It says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Because in coming together, what the Bible says is this, that we find encouragement and strength for the journey from each other. Elijah got up, and here's what the Lord says. He said, go and do what I want you to do. The best way to win this battle is to get back in the saddle and do what God wants us to do. That's where I had my breakthrough. Now I'm telling you, I was there. And I know what God can do. And He'll do the same for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you're in a cave. Spiritually, you're separated from Him. And He wants to lift you out of there. And He wants to give you hope, forgiveness of sin, and a future. As believers, as I've said, we're not immune to this problem. But we can have victory through the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand for invitation. Father, we just thank You that when we come to You, that we can come to You with our questions, we can come to You with our doubts, we can come to You with our frustrations. Lord, all this, You're a big God, You're a great God, and You know exactly where we are. And Lord, when we bring all this to You, then You meet us with grace and love and mercy. And that's exactly where Elijah was. He was a man of faith. He was a man of courage. He was a man of zeal. But he found himself in a difficult place. Emotionally, he was in a bad place. Spiritually, he was in a bad place. But Lord, we see here the principles that pulled him out of that cave. And Lord, You can do the same for us. Father, we thank You for Your strength and Your power. We thank You that You can set our feet on a solid foundation. You can give us peace. You can give us strength. You can give us the promise to know that even though the circumstance may not change, that You are in control. That You're a faithful God. That You're a God of promise. And Lord, we trust you with all this. And Lord, today we bring those circumstances to you that we cannot control. Lord, we come to you today with our frustrations. Lord, we come to you with a need of revival and that fresh touch spiritually that we need from you. Lord, I pray that you'd pull us out of that spiritual cave that we're in. Father, for those who need salvation today, those who need to come to you for forgiveness of sin, I pray that they will come and say yes to this invitation today. In your name we pray. Amen.